Good morning with KUAC News. I'm Dan Bross. Alaska U.S. Congressman Don Young voted against impeaching President Donald Trump yesterday, declining to join a handful of U.S. House Republicans who sided with Democrats in voting yes. Alaska Public Media Washington correspondent Liz Ruskin reports.
Young did not participate in the impeachment debate, and he cast his vote through a Republican colleague.
Mr. Speaker, as the member designated by Mr. Young of Alaska pursuant to House Resolution 8, I inform the House that Mr. Young will vote nay on adoption of House.
Young, in a Facebook statement explaining his vote, called on Trump, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, and everyone else to tone it down. Reporting from the U.S. Capitol, I'm Liz Ruskin.
Fairbanks is getting ready for its first mass COVID-19 vaccination clinic. 1,250 appointment spots were signed up for within an hour of registration opening yesterday morning. And the local Unified Incident Command is preparing the Carlson Center Arena as a venue to administer the shots tomorrow and Saturday. KUAC's Robin went to look at the setup.
The logistics for moving hundreds of people through here over a two-day mass clinic are actually pretty simple. But as Dr. Mark Simon explains them, he notes they're still getting worked out.
There will be a screening that will happen in the car and some paperwork for a registration. And then there has been a text process that they've been using to notify people to come in, but sometimes there have been some hiccups with that. And all of this is subject to a small amount of change, so we'll ask people to be flexible.
The Unified Incident Command for Interior Alaska is trying to get the COVID-19 vaccine into as many arms as fast as possible. Incident Commander Clint Brooks says this clinic is appointment only for the folks in Phase 1A Tier 1.
We've been vaccinating first responders, so our firefighters and EMS personnel, our hospital personnel that have volunteered to take the vaccine. We've been doing that for weeks now. Now the state has given us the vaccine to do the elders, the 65 and older, which is a really good thing because that's our most vulnerable population.
Brooks says about 25 people will be acting as handlers to help answer questions and move people through the process. They're coming from the ever-enlarging group of partners in the incident command. The hospitals, doctor's offices, Tanana Chiefs Conference, Fairbanks North Star Borough, the military. Dr. Simon goes through the door where patients will be directed to one of eight tables to get their inoculations.
They will receive their vaccine and have their 15 minutes to 30 minutes of observation.
The surprise here is the spread out rows of chairs, where not very long ago there were hospital beds staged in warm ready status, waiting for an overflow of COVID-19 patients from Fairbanks Memorial and Bassett Hospitals. Keith Fear, Director of Emergency Management for Foundation Health Partners, says it could all be put back quickly.
We can have that set up again the way it was in a 3 to 4 hour time span.
For this clinic, the Fairbanks Regional Public Health Center is using the Moderna vaccine, which requires patients to return 28 days later for a second dose. It's likely the scene in the arena will be repeated in February. In Fairbanks, I'm Robin.
There's been another COVID-19 death in Alaska. The State Department of Health and Social Services announced the fatality, Alaska's 225th yesterday, identifying the person who died as an Anchorage woman in her 70s. The DHSS also announced 17 new COVID hospitalizations, with 68 confirmed or suspected virus patients in Alaska hospitals as of Tuesday night. Eight patients were on ventilators. The agency listed 288 new Alaska resident COVID cases in a daily report issued yesterday. Among the new cases confirmed as of Tuesday were 81 in Anchorage and 49 in the Fairbanks North Star Borough, including 7 in North Pole. At other interior locations, the Yukon-Koyukuk census area had 6 new cases, Delta Junction had 2, and the Denali Borough 1. There were also 8 new non-resident cases statewide, including 2 in Fairbanks. A local man died of exposure in the North Pole area. Alaska State Troopers say they were contacted before 7 a.m. Tuesday by residents in the Polar Fox Loop and Eielson Farm Road area about hearing gunshots. A trooper dispatch says officers responded and found 35-year-old Brady Jackson of North Pole in a nearby clearing wearing a ballistic vest and armed with a handgun. It says troopers tried to talk with Jackson, but he would not respond. Trooper spokesperson Austin McDaniel says Jackson was, quote, experiencing a personal crisis of some sort. McDaniel says Jackson was a military veteran, and Fort Wainwright Veterans Services representatives were requested in an attempt to talk to him. But prior to their arrival, Jackson appeared to succumb to the sub-zero weather. He was brought to the road and awaiting EMS, who pronounced him dead. Troopers say a semi-automatic rifle and handgun were found in the clearing, and that alcohol and drugs appear to have been a factor in Jackson's death. Next of kin have been notified. A Fairbanks man was killed in an accident on the Seward Highway. Alaska State Troopers report that 31-year-old Alan Solomon's car hit a state road grader Tuesday afternoon. Troopers say Solomon was headed north at a high rate of speed near mile 30 when he rear-ended the grader, which was plowing snow. Troopers add that alcohol appears to have been a contributing factor in the collision and that Solomon was not wearing a seatbelt. They say his next of kin have been notified. The grader operator was not injured in the crash. The state is reopening two interior road maintenance stations shut down 4 years ago due to budget cuts. As KUAC's Tim Ellis reports, the state is tapping federal CARES Act transportation funding to restore the facilities.
State transportation workers will be able to clear snow and fill potholes more quickly along a stretch of the Richardson Highway and other roadways north of Valdez now that the state is reopening road maintenance stations at Birch Lake and Chitna.
We were able to open the Chitna station on Monday, and we expect we'll be able to open the Birch Lake station before the end of the month.
Transportation Department spokesperson Caitlin Fry says work's been underway for a couple of weeks now to undo the winterizing that was done back in October 2016 when the two stations and two others were mothballed due to state budget cuts.
Getting the facilities back in shape to be operational again.
A spokesperson for Governor Mike Dunleavy says the federal government is paying to reopen and operate the stations for the next year and a half with transportation funding made available through the Federal CARES Act.
The money that's being used to open them in the remainder of FY21 and FY22 is a grant from the federal government for the federal highway system.
Dunleavy spokesman Jeff Turner says the $1.2 million grant will buy some time for the department to figure out how to keep the two facilities open.
Right now, I think the Department of Transportation is looking at its different options on how to get permanent funding for the road maintenance stations.
The Chitna station near Valdez maintains a portion of the Edgerton and Old Edgerton highways and a stretch of McCarthy Road during the summer. There are no plans yet on reopening the other two road maintenance stations closed in 2016 at Central and O'Brien Creek on the Taylor Highway, nor on keeping the Thompson Pass station open year-round. Reporting from Delta Junction, I'm Tim Ellis.
A local pond ice rink is proving even more popular than normal this winter. The pond, located adjacent to the Two Rivers Lodge off Chena Hot Springs Road, has been maintained in recent years by Maria Phillips Brister, her husband, and other community volunteers. Phillips Brister says the pandemic has been bringing out more skaters.
Especially for all these kids that are homeschooling and distant learning. Kids are getting out in the middle of the afternoon and going out and enjoying it. Morning, evening, it's been a huge...
Phillips Brister credits numerous people for pitching in to regularly clear and smooth the ice. The pond rink has two hockey goals and lights powered by the lodge. Phillips Brister says recent weeks dry and warmer than normal weather has made for great skating conditions.
Almost every day when I drive to town, there has been just a single family or multi-families. It's been a very active ice skating rink this year. It's been awesome to see.
2 years ago, the pond won the annual Hockey Week in Fairbanks Backyard Rink Contest, and in 2019 was a skating venue for a documentary film segment featuring 1984 Olympic gold medal ice dancing pair Jane Torval and Christopher Dean. I'm Dan Bross.